The 2022 NHL Amateur Draft goes Thursday, July 7th, and with each passing day, more people are asking, Wright, Slafkovsky, or Cooley? Corey Pronman of The Athletic, take a look at this tweet. New post, breaking down Shane Wright versus Juraj Slafkovsky and versus Logan Cooley, and we're going to do it right here on the Sick Podcast.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Tony Maradero. The sickest Montreal Canadiens podcast.
Now, a 24th hang from the rafters of the famous forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup.
Sports entertainment. Like no other. Brought to you by 8.6 Beer. Intense by nature. The last time you went to Lacoste was when the Habs won the Cup. It's time you went back to Lacoste. The menu will surprise you.
Marinero, the Sick Podcast, brought to you by 8.6 Beer. Intense by nature. The beer for those who follow their instinct and live their passions in order to make their mark and Lacage. If the last time you went to Lacage was when the Habs won the Cup, it's time you go back to Lacage. The menu will surprise you. And speaking of Lacage, reminding you of what will be the sickest draft party ever in Montreal on Thursday, July 7th, in association, of course, with the Sick Podcast and Lacage. Stay tuned for more information. Wright, Slafkovsky, or Cooley? One guy who gets paid to take a look at all these prospects and break it down is Corey Pronman of The Athletic. He joins me today on the Sick Podcast. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. And I think we're all looking forward to that Thursday. It's been 3 years in the making.
You're right about that. And I have to tell you, I love the setup. It looks like three TVs from my view here. And I would imagine those TVs and taking a look at tape.
No, just like during the season, if you know, if games in varying time zones and different leagues I need to watch. So I have, that's kind of the setup I have behind me to kind of watch as much hockey as I can.
That's pretty cool. How many hours of tape have you gone through in scouting Wright, Slafkovsky, and Cooley before you tell us who you would pick at number one, number two, and number three?
You're right. I mean, different amounts for player. I'm based in the United States, so I've seen Logan Cooley probably the most live of the three, but I probably watched at least on video at least a third of Wright's games this year. I've seen him live over the last three seasons, going back to his exceptional status season. And Slafkovsky, I saw him live at the Holinka and all those games, and then video probably another dozen, 20 games, something along those lines.
Wow. All right. Okay. So let's bring up Shane Wright's picture first. He is the consensus number one pick, but it's less and less unanimous with each passing day. Let's tackle a couple of things. Number one, those who had a chance to see him play, true or false?
I would say that's true. I mean, he still was over a point per game, which isn't easy in the playoffs. He was an important player. He played big minutes, played all situations. He was a very good player in the playoffs. It's just were there games or even moments or stretches of games where he kind of took the team on his back and you know, was, you know, creating things by himself and doing things to generate goals in a unique way. I would say the answer. The speed, the skill, making plays. You know, I don't want to, like I said, 14, I think it was 14 points, 11 games. It's still a very good postseason, but I wouldn't sit here and call it an outstanding postseason.
He was asked about it and he said, no, hold on a second here. I'm a very deep thinker on the ice. I'm very methodical. I'm economical in my ways. I preserve my energy. I don't go where the puck is. I go where I think the puck's going to go. And it may look like I'm not going all out, but I'm just thinking a lot on the ice.
Yeah.
Do you buy that answer?
I think there's probably a little bit of to both ways. You know, I wouldn't, you know, like Matty Beniers, for example, when he was Seattle, you know, great defensive center who can produce offense too. I wouldn't say Wright is a two-way center in the way Beniers is, where Beniers would, you know, kind of go through a wall, goes hard to the net, wins a ton of battles along the boards. But when I've watched Wright on video, you know, I've never had big issues with his intensity or two-way play. Like I thought he backchecked well. I thought his details were good on the defensive side of the puck. You know, I had a scout about a couple weeks ago make a good point to me just because of how polished, you know, and his player has been for years. That he, you know, he does things that if a guy who was a late first, early second was doing this in terms of defensive play work, you would get really excited by that and see and say, oh, this guy's going to be a great defensive player, but with Wright taken for granted. I do think it's fair to say this guy's not going to run people over. I don't think argument that there were times in his season when you watched him, regular season and playoffs, where I'm not sure lack of intensity is the best word, because I don't think that's a fair description of the player, but I wouldn't say there's a lack of a wow from him where he felt like he could take over a game, but I don't think lack of intensity is the word there. I think there's a reason he's worn the captaincy wherever he's gone, including as a 16-year-old on the U7, on the a 15-year-old, sorry, on the U17, a 16-year-old on the U18 team, sorry, that was a mouthful, is I do think this is a very, I don't think they compete will stand out for you in this, like, this overly, like, you know, buzzing all over the ice kind of way.
Yeah. Those who are presidents of the Shane Wright fan club will tell you that in terms of a 200-foot player, they see some Ryan O'Reilly in him, and at the highest ceiling, yeah, maybe even Patrice Bergeron. Now, you know, one's a very good player. The other one, yeah, the other one is probably one of the best 200-foot players the National Hockey League has seen in, like, the last. The Bergeron comparable?
Yeah, I mean Bergeron, like you said, he's one of the best defensive players the game's ever seen. He's going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I think Wright is a good, really good two-way player. I think Bergeron is a reach. Good two-way center who provides offense and it's a shot and a pass threat. So I think those two are probably more in the world are more reasonable. I had one scout the other day compare him to, like, Gabe Landish up at center, which I don't think is that far off. Like, I think those are more reasonable comps. I just think I've seen the Bergeron one before, and he's personally used it many times when talking to media outlets. And I just think that's just a little high, not because I see what we're going at with a stylistic comp, but just in terms of, and I would feel uncomfortable even rating any prospect, even the greatest ones like the Connor Bedards of next year, into that kind of stratosphere unless there's overwhelming evidence.
All right. Okay. So now let's go to the player that you have seen play the most live. And that is American Logan Cooley, who is also a centerman. The difference between him and Shane Wright, of course, Wright, a right-handed centerman, Cooley, a left-handed centerman. That's number one. Number two, Shane Wright, just over 6 feet tall. Logan Cooley, about 5'10". Correct me if I'm wrong. You've had a chance to see him live, like you said, on many, many occasions, seeing as you're living in the United States. What does he have over
Shane? I think he has kind of things I mentioned before, where there's a little bit more dynamic to be dynamic on a regular basis. But there'll be, you go to watch a Logan Cooley game with the program, and there'd be one or two shifts a game, maybe some more in a given game, where there's a real wow there, like where he's buzzing around the zone with his skating, or he's making some play through a defender that looks really difficult. He makes a really creative passer or deep that just you know, gets the crowd buzzing a little bit. There's just a little bit more of that in his game. Just because he has those things doesn't mean he's a better player.
I hear you.
But really skilled, smart, good skater, that's all that stuff. But I think if you compare just those little dynamic, who has the most dynamic offensive touch, or more dynamic skater, I would say it's Cooley.
All right. Zegras kind of
A little bit, yes, a little bit, no, in that Zegras is never like a really, is that kind of skater. I don't think he ever played. Zegras's stick and his hockey brain are just exceptional. He just thinks of things to do that nobody else does. I don't think Cooley's is a. It's still going to be a big strength, I think, for him as a pro. And it's not just the stick skill and the brain. It's the way he does these things at pace. He makes really high skill plays while moving very fast. He's one of the better skaters in the draft, while also being one of the most skilled players in the draft. And that combat, there are things working against Logan Cooley as well, at least when it comes to the, at least if you're going to discuss him in the number one overall pick range, which I personally would have some reservations. And that is the frame, as you mentioned. There's only three, Lucha Trocheck, and as well, unlike say a Jack Hughes or a Braden Point in their draft seasons, this guy didn't really score at an elite level. It was a very good level, but if you look at comparable NTDP players in the draft seasons, at least among against USHL players, or even in terms of all their program games. I would not call his season special by any means. Still, he had a great year, leading player on a very good NDBA group. Looked really good. He was creating a lot. He was buzzing around the ice, and then you kind of check the stat sheet, and you're like, wow, he only had one assist today. I thought he was a lot better than that. And that just kept piling on and on and on as the season went on. And it's not, you know, you got to take everything into consideration, but that's the arc that he gets Cooley.
So, really interesting skill set, but a lack of size combined with a lack of point production for the skill set that he has and maybe a lack of consistency. So it's a question of putting everything together can make him a special player, but all the chips have
to fall. Right, and I think he actually is a very competitive player. I think he plays hard. He's good defensively. Whether it was a lack of finish or just maybe just overall consistency, it just was the off. The offense didn't pop like you thought it would against junior players. The 18 world, that's not like among the all-time USA performances by any means. You know, the fellow Montreal pick Cole Caulfield U18s would dwarf that. That's just the reality what we're dealing with Logan Cooley. But I think
let's take a look at another really tweet excited. That was an article in The Athletic that you'd put up. And it says Shane Wright sure. might be the projected.
No, this is not my tweet, by the way. I don't control any of this.
From the Athletic National Hockey League, all right? Shane Wright might be the projected number one pick, but he doesn't have the highest upside in the class. Still, there's a lot to like, writes Corey Pronman. 31 prospects are ranked on upside alone. Let's take a look. Slavkowski now. There he is playing for Slovakia. If we can bring up the picture of him with a Slovakia uniform jersey. There you have it. There's Juraj Slavkowski. Okay. In your opinion, this is the player with the highest upside in the
draft. I probably would say it's close between him and Cooley. I think both of their toolkits are really exciting. I think Slavkovsky's different, and that clone Cooley's got the speed, the dynamic speed skill combo. I still think Slavkovsky's a good skater, not I think on the level of Logan Cooley, but he is high-end skill level. He can make plays. He can shoot the puck. He's powerful. You kind of check off all the tools, and there aren't really a lot of players in the NHL who look like this, at least among the wingers. There's some centers who look like that, but there aren't a lot of 6'4 wingers with the skating power, the skill, the scoring ability this guy has. And he's kind of like the anti-Wright in there. And that's why I think this makes this debate so interesting. Is that you have, Wright's toolkit can be a little bit vanilla at times, but the track record is exceptional over the course of the last couple of seasons. Whereas Kofi's, at least pure production in Liga this season, not incorporating his international play, which was exceptional at times, is not even close to what you would expect of a first overall pick. But the toolkit definitely looks be in consideration, which is why I think this makes this debate so fascinating. And it will be very interesting to see how this plays out over the coming years.
More often than not, centermen go number one in the draft, right? Even though wingers have gone number one before, Patrick Kane is a winger, he's gone number one. Ovechkin is a winger, he's gone number one. It's happened before, but more often than not, it is a Nathan McKinnon. It is a Connor McDavid. It is a Sidney Crosby. It is a Steven Stamkos. It is a John Tavares. It is an Austin Matthews. The list goes on and on. How worried would you be if you were the Montreal Canadiens in the temptation of favoring a winger over a centerman when more often than not, the number one pick usually is a centerman because a centerman holds more value than a winger does?
I would be having sleepless nights if I was in their position and I had to pick. I mean, I've written several times at The Athletic. I think it's a coin flip between Slafkovský and Wright, in my opinion. I think there's very good arguments for both of the players. And I personally have Slafkovský one on my personal list. We're in a draft meeting and I got outvoted by a margin of 8-2 or something like that. And I would be very at peace with that because I think Wright's an excellent hockey player and he is a very much deserves to be the number one pick. But I think Slafkovský also has a strong argument because of the aforementioned tools I mentioned. I think his high points this season were much higher than Wright's high points in terms of the Olympics and his world championship play. But I think the center argument is very legitimate. It's very legitimate. Yeah, you know, you have the odd years where, let's go to 2018, Kreshnikov probably is the first pick, but it may not be clear. You can still argue that one too. There are tensions like that. But yes, history tells you the center tends to be the best player. History tells you the best center in any given draft tends to be a hell player. So I get it. I'm thankful I don't have to be in that position, even though I guess my reputation's a little bit on the line because I said we're having a list. But in general, I think it's a very hard decision Montreal will have to make.
Slafkovský is 18 years old. And I read somewhere he's close to 6'4", and I read somewhere that he has a couple of family members who are about 6'6 and 6'7, and he believes he's going to get to that size. I mean, whoa, it has me thinking now. I mean, do 6'6 and 6'7 wingers usually have?
I agree, especially a forward. I think that's why you see guys who are 6'6", 6'7". They're just too slow to play in the NHL. I remember it was a few years ago. Curtis Douglas was the guy that the Dallas Stars drafted. Now in the Leafs, took a shot and it didn't really work out. The Wings just drafted a guy named Elmer Soderblom who played very well in Sweden, who's about that size. I think he'll play in the NHL, but it hasn't happened yet. That would be rare. I have not seen him measured at that height. Anything could change, but typically when you're 18, you're probably done growing. But if that changed, then maybe the variables change.
Yeah. Now, Shane Wright, you talked about when he had exceptional status. I mean, let's go back 3 or 4 years. Most hockey people, scouts, pundits, everyone have been saying that Shane Wright is the best of what would end up being the 2022 draft class. All right. We're going back 4 years now. The best at 14, at 15, at 16, at 17. And now all of a sudden, there's some debate. And you have Slafkovský, I believe, as the guy with probably the highest ceiling. At what point did you kind of change your mind and it's Slafkovský? And I know you said it's a debate between Slafkovský and Wright. You probably give the edge to Slafkovský out. What?
It was more in the second half of the season. Obviously, I've been watching Wright for many years. I had watched him in the exceptional status season, so I knew what the player looked like. And you could kind of go back in time if you really wanted to talk about what I saw back then. But at least talking about just this season in particular, I did have Wright at number one coming into the season. I thought he was a comfortable number one. Then the first half of the season started, I was watching a lot of Kingston games because of Wright, and they had Paul Lewinsky and some other guys that were interesting that I need to watch. Only a couple games when I missed all last season, and then a few weeks go, a few months come by, and you're kind of still waiting to be wowed by him. And but there's nobody else who's having a big season to be an alternative. So he's still the guy. Cancel World Juniors, him and Slavkovsky don't really have, or Logan Cooley too, don't really have an opportunity to get an extended display of their skills versus their junior peers at that top level. Then the Olympics happen, and Slavkovsky, you know, elevates from whatever he was, like a fourth line forward, there was no power play, to being the MVP of the tournament over the course. And now that looks really interesting. That's unique. Obviously, you don't usually have Olympics, you know, the Olympics usually have NHL players, but what are you able to do versus men at such a high level versus elevate him into a tier with, right, I still didn't flip him, but now you're watching Slavkovsky. Now Slavkovsky has all everyone's attention in the NHL. We're watching through the second half into the League of Playoffs. And then the World Championships come by, and he doubles down on what he does at the Olympics. And it's at that point that I say, okay, there's a lot more. I knew he was skilled. I didn't know he was talented, though. And it was after getting all that information, including what you've seen from Wright all season, that I kind of said, okay, I think this was really close, but I think there's a little bit more talent here with Slavkovsky. But I can see arguments that had an off season, but he's only been an elite scorer wherever he goes, and it's possible he shows up to training camp next season, blows you all away, and everybody forgets about his draft season. All those things are possible, but based on what I saw over the last 2 years,
I have a lot of time for people who have opinions and aren't afraid to put themselves their neck on the line there. All right, okay, this is going to be a difficult exercise, but I'll do it with you quick. You're a big boy, you can take it. A comparable, a future comparable, one name for each of these three players. When all is said and done and his NHL career will be over, Shane Wright will mostly resemble
Mika Zibanejad.
Juraj Slavkovsky will mostly Logan Rick Cooley Nash. Will mostly resemble.
Cooley's a tough one because there's only so many 5'10". I use Braden Point in my article, but I don't really believe that one. I think there's some distinct differences. I would probably say it's like a Braden Point, Clayton Keller, like almost hybrid essentially. That's the issue with Cooley is there's only so many 5'10" centers in the NHL, and they all get. I heard everyone compare him and Frank Mazur this year to Braden Point.
I got time for hybrids. As a matter of fact, they're in style. Everyone is saying a plug-in hybrid is the best bet right now. Speaking of Betway, for the love of the game, sign up and deposit on Betway for a 100% deposit bonus. The easiest sportsbook for Canadians. Transfers are 1, 2, and 3. At 1, you would draft.
I have Slavkovsky first on my list, but like I said, it would really keep me up at night just because I think it's so close. And there's probably pure hockey, I would take Slavkovsky first.
Second,
basically that's on my list. But I would probably, there's something I talk about with NHL people a lot is if, because I talk to other NHL people who do have Slavkovsky at 1, I believe it's the next. Higher and getting fired than you picking the good Canadian exceptional status boy. It's a pure hockey. It's Slavkovsky, but I would debate it really seriously if I was a manager.
So I'll end it with this question. In the end, who do you think the Montreal Canadiens are going to take?
I think they're going to take Wright.
There you have it. Hey, this was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for doing this. Tell your friends about it on Facebook, Instagram, at Twitter, absolutely free. You're a great follow on Twitter. He is Corey Pronman, and he writes for The Athletic, and of course, he covers these prospects inside and out. Look at him. He's got 3 TVs hanging on his wall. I love this guy, and I thank you for taking time for me today on the Sick Podcast. I appreciate it. Corey Pronman, tell your friends about it. The Sick Podcast with Marinaro, the sickest guy in Montreal. Matter of fact, the sickest guy in Canada, maybe even in the world. Ciao, I'm out.
Yeah, that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much. Johnny Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by 8.6, Intense by Nature. And you will look. The menu will surprise you.